News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The plastic surgery service in Crumlin Hospital is where a lot of children end up who have been bitten by dogs. And that service has been keeping track of the dog bites and trying to see what the trends are. And what they revealed is that 6 out of the 10 children who required plastic surgery treatment, so that's about 2/3, due to dog bites, were bitten by a family pet. Susie Walsh, dog trainer and behaviourist, is with us. Susie, are you surprised by that? Because I assume people would believe that they know their own dog and can trust their own dog.
I'm not personally. I specialise in dog aggression and I work with this on a day-to-day basis. And I'm really delighted the study came out and highlighted the impact for everybody. So most dog bites happen with their own dog in their own home or the pet is known to the victim. So it doesn't surprise me at all that this has come out in this study.
Now, the study then looked at breeds and what it found was that the certain breeds, so certain terrier breeds, Jack Russells, American Pit Bulls, German Shepherds, they show up significantly in the stats. Do you see that as a warning sign in respect to those breeds, or is that more to do with ownership levels?
I don't, because the study was only able to do 44 out of the 89 dogs identified in total. So they're very small numbers. And also people are really have been shown time and time again in research that we're very poor at identifying breeds of dogs as well in a emergency scenario. So that, you know, they mentioned that in the study as well. So and also the statistics will be skewed by a popularity of breed as well, you know, whatever is popular at a particular time. So I wouldn't take massive heed to that, but I would make everyone aware that obviously if you have young children in a home, depending on the size of dog that you have, obviously that depends on the size of child, that depends on how vulnerable that child is. Because if you have a large dog, they're always going to be face height to that child, you know. So I always take that into consideration when I'm advising people on getting a dog, that you kind of want your youngest child to be at all times kind of taller than your dog, if at all possible.
And what then about training and familiarisation?
Yeah, well, again, it's really important to do training and socialisation. Now, in this country, we don't really put a lot of emphasis on raising or breeding dogs for temperament or for health. We do neither of those things. Instead, we've legalised puppy farms by calling them commercial breeding establishments. And we know now from tons and tons of research that we cannot raise dogs in an environment that's not a home. So when you're picking a puppy or you're buying a dog from someone, if that dog has been raised in a shed, if that dog hasn't had enough handling or socialization, if the parents of that dog haven't had enough handling or socialization, you might end up in a risky situation. We instead have gone, oh yeah, let's legalize puppy farms, and we're calling them commercial breed establishments, and you can do what you want and raise them how you like. And really, that doesn't work for a pet home. If you're planning on having a dog in your home, temperament and health have to be in the forefront to make sure that dog is resilient. So dogs that are resilient will be able to tolerate hugging from children and pulling, and even if they're not very well, they'll tolerate it. Because you can see from the study that actually it was 6 to 7 year olds that were the most vulnerable category of children. And those children can learn dog body language. Those children of that age can actually learn what to do and what not to do to a dog. But we're also bad on the education front as well. We're not great at putting in plans or schemes, whether it's in schools or family homes, to create safety around dogs. Every day I meet people who don't even know the basics of dog body language, or even what are the warning signs prior to a dog bite. So, you know, we've tried to implement some of those things in Ireland, but it's just not taken on board.
What are the warning signs that people misinterpret?
Oh, just before a dog going to bite you, the dog is not going to necessarily growl. The dog is not going to necessarily bark at you. The dog is going to remain still. They'll usually give you what's called a whale eye, where you'll see the whites of the eye. They'll usually kind of avoid and stiffen up, lower their head, and the tail will be tucked. You know, but these might, depending on how you've treated your dog, whether you've punished them in the past for growling, whether you've punished them in the past for barking, then those, you know, some of that behavior will be suppressed. So that's why we always say never, unfortunately, it's a really, really tough thing to do, but never scold a dog for a growl, because they're the warning signs that we need for them to have. If you suppress a growl by punishing a growl, then you're left with no warning. And then we get these all of a sudden so-called out of the blue bites, which I can tell you, I've never in my almost 20 years working with dogs, never had a case where a dog is bitten without warning or some medical reason as well. because we also have a massive statistics that say that up to about 83% of dog behavior problems are undiagnosed discomfort. And dogs are really good at masking discomfort. So we're poor at identifying whether a dog is actually in, whether it's a toothache or a bellyache or a sore leg or all of those things. And all of those things impact on how tolerant a dog is going to be, again, with a child or again with a person.
The vet and behavioural expert, Dr. Ian Dunbar, always recommends that you train a dog into having a soft mouth when it does snap so that it snaps gently. Is there any truth in that or is that a waste of time?
It's not that it's a waste of time. You've got to be aware of it. I'm always, when I'm working with a young dog or a puppy, look at the how hard a dog will mouth you or not. Can you train them into it? Not necessarily, but I would say a puppy with very firm bite or who'll do grab and bite, usually that dog has some kind of underlying discomfort from very early on, like hip dysplasia, elbow dysplasia, some other kind of musculoskeletal discomfort. So I would look into that. All puppies should naturally stop mouthing by the age of 5 months or 5.5 months when they lose their puppy teeth. And if that's not, now there's a little bit of mouthing in adolescence, but if that's not happening, that would be a warning sign that there's something else underlying or something going on. You can obviously teach a dog to take food from you gently, and you can build up tolerance around handling and socialization and all those things. And they massively, massively help, you know, going to a qualified, I stress, dog trainer or behaviorist when your puppy is young, or a group puppy class, will really, really help. Even if you've gotten your dog from an unscrupulous place or you've adopted your dog, that's always going to be, you know, worth its weight to prevent kind of dog biting.
Susie, thanks very much for your time. Susie Walsh, dog trainer and behaviourist.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.